All right, let's turn to the book of Ephesians again tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 4. If you remember last Thursday night, we got started in this particular lesson in this series. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last night. And maybe, maybe not, we'll get through it all tonight. We will see. My plan is to finish tonight, but we'll see how far we get. Talking about spiritual health and being spiritually healthy. I hope that's our goal. I hope that's our desire. And I hope you want to be part of a spiritually healthy church. What's the best way to do that? For us all to concentrate on our spiritual health. I want to go to a church that's spiritually healthy. Well, then we have to put in the effort for us to be spiritually healthy. And so we got into last week. We started the part of this, a spiritually healthy church equips the saints, is where we began last week. So let's look at Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to begin with verse number 11. And we'll read down several verses to verse number 16. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And who is he giving to? He's giving to the local church. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge and of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, let me remind you very quickly. He's giving some. The apostles, we know the apostles were a certain group for a certain time. There are no apostles today. Well, I saw some people, they had apostle in front of their name. That's code for imposter. There are no apostles today. Some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That is what he gave to the church. Why? Verse 12, for the perfecting, the completing, the maturing, the equipping of the saints. Why? Just so we could say that we're spiritually mature? Just so that we can say that we know some more Bible than somebody else? No. For the work of the ministry. The goal of the pastor, not just the goal, the responsibility of the pastor is to equip God's people so that they can do ministry. Whether you've been saved 20 years or 20 minutes, this pastor has a goal. It's what God intended for you to be equipped to so that you can do ministry. There's lots of aspects of that. So I want to remind us of that. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're continuing to grow. We're continuing to grow, and that's where the unity comes from. That does not mean we all think the same. It means we're all progressing. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're going to pick up tonight in a spiritually healthy church equips the saints. Father, help us as we get back into this passage tonight and we look at these things that you have prepared for us. And Father, I pray that it would help us to further equip ourselves so that we can not just be proud of the fact we're equipped, but so that we can see that we're equipped to do ministry, to help others. And Father, I pray that you bless your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quickly, just to review a little bit from last week, I remind us that we spent the message time last week talking about a healthy church doesn't depend on a few people doing everything. A healthy church is preparing every believer to grow, serve, and strengthen the body of Christ. Every Sunday school teacher, you ought to be looking at those in your class, and as an extension of the pastor, I want them to be equipped so that they can serve in some capacity. It is not for, the church was never designed to be a spectator event. We just come and we look, we get some things, and everybody else does the work. That is not what God intended. Now, everybody has ministry that they can do. What God has ordained for me, one aspect of ministry, is to be the pastor. But that's not the only ministry that I can have a part in. You have ministry. There's ministry of prayer. There's ministry of encouragement. As I mentioned last week, ministry of discouragement is not really a ministry that some of you are involved in. But there's all kinds of ministry that we can be involved in. You know, there are some that may say, okay, I'm gonna make sure the grounds are the way they are, or I'm gonna walk around the buildings to make sure there's no trash before and after the services. That's ministry. Any way that we can serve is ministry. That is what the church, by the way, the church can do more when everybody's doing ministry. The New Testament pattern is this. I reminded us that a healthy church is not just trying to gather a crowd. I want the building full, and thank God we're growing, and God's growing His church. But I've been very careful through the years to not just be focused on growing numerically at the sacrifice of growing spiritually. And this has been a church that has been in, if I can say, let's transition a little bit, because not just to say, you're talking about our relocating. No, that's fun, right? But we have an established pillars who God used this church. Then you have other generations coming in. You have to take the time to equip another generation. You have to take the time to equip new people. So it's got to be healthy in the sense that the church is equipping the saints. In Ephesians 4, Paul is explaining God's design. Christ gave leaders to the church, so the leaders don't do all the ministry, but so they can prepare God's people to do the work of the ministry. As I mentioned, my goal is not to make you dependent on me, but dependent on Christ. And I'll give you this. I think we got through number three last week. Let me give them to you real quick. Number one, a healthy church recognizes that every believer has a place. We looked in chapter 4, verse 7, and this is an important point. But unto every one of us is given grace, meaning God has gifted every one of us something that they can do for the Lord. You may be saying, what is that? You've got to let God show you what that is. As you are equipped, God knows that some of you are growing, and it's so exciting to see you grow. And you might say, what does God have for me? But do you realize that God who hung billions of stars in space knows the exact moment when you're going to get to a point where you're equipped to do that ministry? The exact point. And so we believe that every one of us should be doing something in ministry. So as a healthy church, we're going to help every Christian discover where they can serve. What burden? Well, I don't know what I can. I just don't have the health to ride my schedule. But you can help carry burdens. You can pray. Number two, we said a healthy church understands the purpose of spiritual leadership. We looked at that word perfecting, is equipping, preparing. It's not my job to perform every task, but to equip so we can all do ministry. It doesn't take a genius to understand that if you have more than one person ministering to people, you can minister to more people. So that is the purpose of preaching. I do a lot of series, but I do not believe, I mean, it's just not me. If others do it, they can do it. I have a purpose of equipping. Me teaching you through the book of Leviticus, for the sake of teaching through the book of Leviticus, is not equipping us to reach the world. The Lord impresses upon me series, and I'm searching and message. It's so to equip God's people so that they can go and do the work of God. That's the purpose of the pastor. Now, number three, we said a healthy church moves people from attendance to service. Did we get to number three last week? Okay, I thought we did. We want to get people from just attending to serving. In verse 12, we see that the work of the ministry for perfecting of the saints. You say, man, Pastor, I love the preaching. Oh, it's so helpful and it's so good. You know, be careful saying that, because it's like, oh, you're getting equipped. And you're getting equipped so now you can serve. Now, some of you are going to be like, oh, the preaching is just not, it's just not doing anything for me, Pastor. It's the work of the ministry. Ministry is work. That's where we give ourself. And I ended with, I believe, how an unhealthy church develops just consumers. They come to church, what are you going to give me? A healthy church, though, we want to develop servants. Consumers ask, what does this church have to offer? Or was the service everything that I wanted it to be? Or did I receive enough attention? Was everything convenient? Well, everything hadn't been convenient for us in a long time. But a servant-minded church asks, who needs encouragement today? Where is help needed? How can I strengthen the church? We're reminded that even Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Why do you think you're better than Jesus? It's a good question. He came to minister, not to be ministered to. If there's anybody that deserves to be ministered to, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the closer we come to Christ, the more willing we become to serve. Okay, are we caught up? I didn't give you number four last week, did I? Oh, I did. A healthy church equips before it assigns. Oh, I'm excited. I can get through more tonight. That's right. I went through this very quickly. We want to say, well, get involved, but we got to teach you and equip you to be involved. Even Jesus trained his disciples. He taught them, corrected them, allowed them to observe him. So you got, for you to serve, you got to be equipped. That's why there are some, they come through, and I've learned that I can spot them pretty easily. They come in, they test the waters in the church, and if I join this church, what position are you going to put me in? Just because you join the church doesn't mean you're equipped. And if you can't show up to learn and be equipped, you can't adequately serve where God places you to serve. So equipping is going to build confidence. So we're not just trying to fill positions, we're developing people, developing them. Did I give you number five? I didn't think so. Number five, a healthy church produces spiritual maturity. A healthy church produces spiritual maturity. It's been a day. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the goal is maturity. God doesn't want us to remain spiritual infants. Spiritual infants are easily offended. You say, are you saying I'm a spiritual infant? Are you offended by that? Spiritual infants are unstable. You say, oh, there's people that have only been saved for a short time. No, there's been people who have been saved for decades. They're still spiritual infants. They require constant attention. They don't have great discernment. They think primarily about themselves. But mature believers have some stability. What do I mean by that? They learn to endure difficulties. It's easy to serve God, or easier to serve God, when you have no great difficulties in your life. But a stable, a mature, say, how do we get to that point? Well, God has equipped the church with these gifts so that God's people can learn from them and be equipped so that in verse 13, we can grow and mature to a place in our life that we have some stability. And so that is why we Christians are more stable inside the church, under the teaching of the Word of God. See, if you'll dedicate yourselves, as you have, you're here on a Thursday night, and what a great crowd we have here on Thursday night. If you'll commit yourself to Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night in the Sunday school lesson, have you noticed how long they've been getting? You take those Sunday school lessons and you spend time in them during the week. You are equipping yourself for a hard time that's going to come, so that when it comes, you have more stability. You're helping your children by staying under the Word of God. Say, well, do I have to be part of the church? No, you don't. You can read the Bible outside the church. But there, notice where God gave the gifts to the local church, so that there's that teaching. The pastor has the pulse, the heartbeat of the people that need to be equipped. You learn to endure difficulties. You understand doctrine. When you get to spiritual maturity, you can serve without recognition. Spiritual maturity brings forgiveness. You forgive quickly. You carry the burdens of others. You work on reproducing yourself and other people. See, a healthy church checks the attendance, but it's not just checking the attendance. It is making sure it is equipping so that we are growing in maturity. See, this is why the Sunday school revolution is important, and this is why starting Sunday school classes is important, and it's a must. Because it means what we're doing is working. Because if you're growing, you should be getting to a place for you to serve in some capacity. You know, it's all of our ministries are growing. As you add more younger couples, your nursery's growing. The building's not, but the number of babies are. You say, well, what are we going to do about that? Some of you are going to need to serve in the nursery. Now, you old men don't come up to me and say, does that mean me? No, you're not doing that. But you get the point I'm making. A healthy church produces spiritual maturity. How dependable are you for the church? If you're in a Sunday school class, say, well, I don't do anything. I'm not the teacher. I'm not this and that. But you know what? Are you dependable? Do you show up? Are you there? I'm just in the choir. I don't sing on key anyway, but that's a seat. Are you there? You know, believe it or not, it helps the pastor to see you in your place. You know, I come out here and half the crowd's gone. I was like, okay, what happened that nobody told me about? It helps, especially when there's some that I know you're struggling and then you're not in your place. It weighs on me. Are you dependable? Number 6, a healthy church protects believers from instability. Notice the progression here. Jesus establishes the church. He gives a gift to the church, those who are there to equip the body of Christ. Why are we equipping? For the work of the ministry. Because how are we going to reach the world with the gospel if it's just up to the pastor to do it? Well, we have some people on staff. How in the world are we going to reach Jacksonville with just the staff? It's going to take everybody having a part. It's so the work of the ministry. That's why it's important that we preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, have this. It's not just, well, we have to fill the time. No, it's equipping time. It's learning time. It's getting what we need. We're in a spiritual battle so that we can reach the world with the gospel. So then we see in verse 13, we've seen it's so that we grow to a place of maturity, It's not just, well, I have knowledge and so I'm mature. No, it's so that we have that equipping so that we can maintain some stability. This church is a mature church. It has been through some things. And quite frankly, those that didn't have maturity in their life, it has shaken them out. But this church has survived and is stable. Why is that? It's because it has been equipped by the Word of God. So then that leads us to verse 14. Why? Why do we need to grow to that place of spiritual maturity? I'm glad you asked. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, so that we grow up, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, sadly, it's obvious in this day, sadly, Christians don't know the Bible. There's a lot of pastors who reveal their spiritual children tossed to and fro by what this podcaster says or this person believes or this YouTube guy says, and they can't make up their mind what they believe. It's because they have not been equipped. And by the way, let me just say this. This is why it's better for us. We're training young people at North Florida Baptist College, and we will invest in that financially, keep doing what we're doing. I'm not sending them to a place where the moment they leave their youth group, they go to a place with less Bible. Oh, but they've got a campus. They don't even have a church. Well, they got a camp. They don't have a church. You know, forgive me for saying it. And sometimes, and this isn't in my notes, I guess it just needs to be said. Oh, I wish they had what we had, this, and that. Okay, I can understand some of that. But what is the priority? Forgive me for saying it. They get Bible here. They get it in their school. They get it in their Sunday school. Forgive me for saying this. There's not a lot of pulpits where the Bible is preached like it is from this pulpit. And so they get equipped and go someplace with a campus or someplace with a name that doesn't equip them. We've got to get back in our own minds, and sadly, there are people who choose churches that way. You're not going to tell me there's not been people that drive by our building, our circus tent, and be like, what in the world? That church is in there. That can't be it. Because we put the priority on the wrong thing. It's not wrong to have one day, as the Lord provides, we may move into a bigger circus tent. But it hadn't been so bad in here, has it? Because we get something from God, don't we? Now, none of that is in there. But I think it helps us to make some practical application. Because a healthy church protects believers from instability. Immature believers are easily moved. One person convinces them of one thing. The next internet video convinces them of everything else. Man, you can go back to COVID in 2020 and we're all going to be dead. No, this one said that this is the mark of the Antichrist. This is this. And they can be swayed easily back and forth. Those who have an understanding have been equipped. You see it now with Israel. Everybody's got an opinion on the internet about that this isn't Israel and that's not Israel. And this is, they're immature. They haven't been equipped. And what they believe is based on what the next person says. By the way, it is good for you to do a self-diagnosis and say, I'm still growing. I've got some things to learn. God has given me a pastor. I'll let him teach me what I need to know on subjects like that. They're driven by emotion, personality, pressure, popular opinion. We, as a healthy church, we want to be equipped to think biblically. If we exist and we think like Republicans, I'm disappointed. Terribly disappointed. But Pastor, does that mean we're supposed to be thinking like Democrats? No. We're supposed to be thinking like Christians. We're supposed to be thinking biblically. As we equip, we learn how to examine Scripture. Notice it says, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We want to be able to distinguish truth from error, conviction from preference, doctrine from speculation, and biblical authority from human tradition. See, equipped believers are not easily manipulated. See, the Bible is very clear, and we're missing this. The last days, we know what we're talking about before the rapture takes place. There is a great falling away. That falling away is not those outside of their church falling away. They got to be falling away from something. How does that happen? Because we have churches that are not equipping. I hate to break it to some of these, that these who are more interested in a style, like expository, and it's just, that's all we're doing. They want to criticize the kind of preaching and teaching I'm doing tonight. I would submit to you that that's not going to save people from being deceived and not falling away. That'll get clipped and go everywhere. I'm going to lose some. No, I won't. We don't want to be easily manipulated. We want to be stable. Number 7. We got to get to 10. A healthy church speaks truth in love. You see how we're building? We have gifts. I remind you, I'm God's gift to you. To perfect you, to equip you. It's not my personality that equips you. It's not my talents that equips you. It's the teaching and the preaching and the application of the Word of God. Till we grow and mature. And that's a question of what are you getting out of your church? You do not have a perfect pastor. Don't say amen right there. There's going to be things that fall in the cracks, but are you growing in spiritual maturity? Be very careful getting offended and leaving that. Why is that? We don't want to toss to and fro anymore by every new doctrine that comes out. Then verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. We need a revival of this. May grow up into Him and all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, the world will try and deceive you, and the devil will lie to you and say, speaking truth is hate. Oh, that's just hate speech. No, truth is not hate speech. Telling a little boy he's a girl, that's hate speech. Telling him to get up and walk like a man, that's not hate speech. But a healthy church speaks truth in love. You can speak the truth And it does matter how you say it, but you speak the truth, and the motivation is love. You say, well, he seems angry about that. You just might not be used to seeing a man say it. But understand the motivation is love. There are times I have to come to this pulpit. There are times I have to have a meeting with somebody. And I know somebody's not going to like what I'm going to say, like some of you tonight. But what is my motivation for saying it? I just like for people to be mad at me. I'm going to see who will leave the church tonight. Now, there are some, they thrive on that. But the motivation is love. See, maturity requires both truth and love. Don't miss this. Truth without love becomes harsh. Love without truth becomes weakness. A strong church is not, well, I just don't want to tell them. I've used illustration. Are you going to go to a doctor who's not going to tell you the truth because they don't want to hurt your feelings? A healthy church is going, we're not going to be at either extreme. We're going to teach truth clearly. If something is wrong according to Scripture, we're going to address it. But why do we do this? So that you can grow. False doctrine is not going to grow you. Motivational speeches are not going to equip you. Well, that really made me feel good. But did it equip you for ministry? Did it equip you for spiritual warfare? You know, there are times when people need encouragement. You say, well, I don't need encouragement. Well, I do now after I talk to you. I need encouragement. No, we need encouragement. But we need correction too. Sometimes we need comfort, don't we? But sometimes we need confrontation. Love, with wisdom, discerns what is needed and delivers the truth in the appropriate manner. See, this is why I'm not going to have a YouTube debate over is the Bible the Bible. There's no need to have a discussion for the sake of discussion. Because my purpose as a pastor and as a preacher is not to win an argument. It's to equip the saints. And while I can be over here arguing for something, that's not my ministry. My ministry is to equip somebody. Now, I will defend this church. I will keep bad doctrine out. I will teach you what's right from wrong. But the goal is not just to win an argument. The goal is to help somebody grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we speak, I just want to go where it's, you'll hear this, and I'm just going to go where it's more loving. What they mean is, I'm going somewhere where they won't tell me the truth. That's exactly what that means. Now, I'm not going to say that there's not pastors out there that are just jerks. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I don't come up to me tonight and say we're very well aware of that, Pastor, so don't do that. But the motivation of telling the truth is love. Number 8. A healthy church understands that Christ is the head. Christ is the head. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know this. This church is not built around the pastor. The pastor is not the head. And if he's not the head, there's certainly a committee is not the head. Tradition is not the head. Christ is the head. He's the one that gives direction. He's the one that supplies the strength. It's his purpose. And every ministry we all are part of, is connected to him. See, that's why this is so dangerous in our ministry for us to so fall in love with our ministry that it becomes our ministry. And forgive me, if you will, just for a moment. There are some times I feel the need, I'm moving them from here to here. Well, I'm just not going to serve. Why is it? Because it's become your ministry. It's not his ministry. It's not about that. Now, God uses our personality. But when it's all about us, it's all about even the pastor, then the church is going to become unhealthy. But with Christ at the center, every member can serve as they're equipped to ministry that God has for them without any competition. And we must keep pride out of our ministry. Well, Pastor mentioned this ministry, but he didn't mention my ministry. It's not your ministry. I know what you mean, but it's not your ministry. We're a whole body joined together, as verse 16 tells us. Now, take pride in what you do. Be dedicated in it. Be faithful. Take ownership of it. But remember, it's not ownership for you. It's stewardship for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have no competition. Don't compare your growth with somebody else's growth. Compare you with you. Where you are today compared to where were you last year this time? You say, well, I'm not doing so well. Well, what happened between last year and now? Sometimes life happens. But the point that I'm making is when Christ is the center, you can serve. Now, your world may be turned upside down, but your world was not the center of how and why you served. Christ was the center, so you can still serve in some capacity. Maybe not like you served before, or maybe not like how you want to serve now. Maybe you're limited in some respect. But if he's the head, I may have to step back from ministry because now I got to go under treatments or whatever. Well, you know what? When you go in that waiting room, you can still do ministry. I can't go and knock on doors like I used to. Well, you know, you can come to a 12 Stones meeting or a Night of Hope, and you can be there and help minister to somebody else. Whatever it is. Maybe you were in the choir before, but now you're not in the choir and you're just regulated opening a door. That's if Christ is the head, we're getting equipped to do ministry. Does it really, if things change, it's about I don't have to fight for prominence. When everyone is serving the same head. Say, oh, well, if I was the pastor and I was in charge and I'm serving the same head you're serving. The body that we know that illustration and we know that the body fit together so that they can function. And I'm not the first to use this illustration, but it certainly applies. It's like, well, I'm just like the little toe and nobody cares about me. Well, when you stub it in the middle of the night, you're reminded that that's pretty important. The point is, it's all about Christ. We say that and then like, well, I just can't. No, we need to be reminded. We're not in a competition with one another. I'm coming, I'm getting equipped. I'm getting equipped. I'm getting equipped. Now, what can I do to serve? What can I do? I'm growing and I'm maturing. I'm going to have some stability. Now, what can I do for him? He's the head. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do more for him. But if God has ordained you to serve in this capacity in front of him, in front of you, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. So if he puts a little Sunday school class in front of you, do it with all your might. If you can serve as an usher, do it with all thy might. Hey, you're the encourager. Do it with all your might. What if I'm just, all I can do is pray. Why do we talk like that when we talk about prayer? All I can do is enter into the Holy of Holies and petition the God of the universe to intercede on behalf of my brothers. Maybe one day I'll get an important ministry. And what we're saying is, maybe I have a little more prominence in serving. But whatever God puts in front of us, we're not competing. We're serving the same person. Number 9, a healthy church functions through every part. We've seen it in verse 16. We just talked about the whole body fitting, fitly joined together. Every, notice what it says, every joint supplieth. Every part contributes something. See, the church grows when believers stop asking whether their contribution is noteworthy and impressive, and begin asking, when I talk about asking, I'm not talking about me or somebody else, but the Lord Himself, themselves, whether this is they're faithful. See, that person who prays may never be seen. You know, D.L. Moody talked, D.L. Moody was a great man, greatly used by God, shook 2 continents for God, but he had widow ladies that prayed for him. I mean, who had the power? It's the chicken and the egg thing. Was it D.L. Moody, that man of God, or was it those ladies praying so that he could have the power? I submit to you that was both. The nursery worker may not be applauded. The person cleaning the building may never stand behind a pulpit. Some of you have seen cleaning. I hope you do. Anyway. The teacher who prepares a lesson may have struggled through school, may have a hard time reading and learning. They may spend more hours than the other teachers. And nobody's going to see that. Nobody's going to notice that. But every joint supplies something the body needs. God sees every act of service. I'll give you number 10 and we're done. A healthy church builds itself up in love. The end of verse number, look at verse 16 again. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The goal is not serving ministry activity for activity's sake. The goal is edification. Don't miss this. For you to serve in spiritual health, as we've described, as Paul has described for us, it edifies you. It edifies others. That healthy service strengthens others. You're not going to be competing with others. You're not looking for recognition. We've already established you're not building a personal kingdom for yourself. You're building the body. Love, as referenced here, is that speaking the truth in love is keeping it from being mechanical. Why do we teach? Because we love. Why are we going to visit? Because we love. Because we're not doing this for ourselves. Why do we spend time in prayer? Because we love. Who do we love? We love Christ. We're helping the whole body. We serve Him by serving the people who belong to Him. Well, I want to serve the Lord. How do I do that? You serve the people who belong to Him. I am glad for you to go volunteer at a hospital, volunteer at a dog shelter, volunteer for whatever it is that you want to do. But that is not serving the Lord. Did you hear me? Go volunteer for the Red Cross. That's a good thing. But if you're going to build the body, you're going to serve those who belong to the body. Now, I am not advocating that we don't ever serve our fellow man. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we got to see it for what it is. If we're going to be a healthy church, we can't go serve everywhere else and not serve the people who belong to the church. Well, Pastor, I'm part of this organization. What do you think about that? Well, I think if you're serving the church, you're not going to have time to be part of that organization. But I took an oath and a pledge. Let's break that down with the blood of Christ and the responsibility of the church. I don't have to get into all the doctrinal stuff of it. It's like, you're not going to have time for that. And Mom and Dad, don't get upset and don't get put out because your children, the way things are designed, we give them opportunities to serve ministry and they can't do other things. Which thing are they going to do? They want to serve the Lord or serve themselves? Does it make sense? We serve Him by serving those who belong to Him. So we want to build ourselves up in love. All right, here's the conclusion. Or I'll say lastly, that way I can last. If I say conclusion, I have to conclude. We need everybody doing their part. There is a danger in the pastor having abilities. And I'm not patting myself on the back tonight, but I have some abilities. But there's a danger in that because, one, the pastor can rely on his abilities and the church can rely on his abilities, but that's not what God has set up or established. And we need one of those multi-talented pastors. Maybe next time. Brother so-and-so, he can preach and he can sing. Well, good for him. It's not that. It's a healthy church is one where the saints have been equipped to do the work of the ministry. That is a church where believers, Christians are growing. Man, the Preacher's Delight Conference is coming up and there's going to be people coming from all over the country, from other countries are going to be here. Unless you're new, you know how this works. Our church steps back and serves everybody that comes in. We clean for them. We put them in a hotel. We feed them. We clean up after them. We serve them. So it is an exciting thing to see new people be able to jump in and serve. That is a healthy church. And let me just remind all of us, be a good steward of your ministry, but don't lock it down to where it's your ministry. Jesus didn't do that to us. Well, they don't have it together. I know they don't have it together like you do. But the Lord turned His ministry over to imperfect men. Peter was still cussing. Now some of you are going to hear that and be like, oh yeah, I just got my green light. No. please, ma'am, don't take that and think it's something else. Who are you equipping? See, mom and dad, you're taking your children to church. You want them taught the Word of God, but you're equipping them. And let me help the young people, the teenagers, the children, the young adults, and the parents who have children in our ministry. It makes no sense to equip them for 18 years to serve God and say, well, let me go see what I want to do with my life. You've been equipped. I am not trying to train you to go make a lot of money. I want to equip you to reach the world. Now, that's not to say we have many in here who graduated from our school, graduated from our college, and God didn't put you in what we call full-time ministry, but you're really in full-time ministry. That's not what I'm saying. But we are equipping another generation. That's part of what we're doing. And we've been accused, and I'll be accused again, and say, well, you're indoctrinating them. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we want to equip ourselves. Why? To serve God. But you know what we're going to do in eternity? Serve. Serve. We want to be a healthy church. We want to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. This is a healthy church when everybody says, I've got a place. When we have somebody come to this church that doesn't fit, or they don't look, or they don't, it seems like, well, I don't know how they got here. They have a place. They have a place. Well, they need to get the list of rules. No, 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 number one, you're not on the rule committee. Number two, we've got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help us know how to live. And I've learned something in my years of ministry. The Holy Spirit can do a lot better job than I can do. But it's where we say, I have a place. I have some place I can serve. Sunday school teachers and others, as soon as you can find someplace for somebody to serve, do it. Well, let's just make in the coffee. Let them serve. Let them serve. Let them do something. If we ever pulled up out there and before church, and Charlie wasn't doing whatever Charlie does out there, roaming around out there, you got Chuck Ruck, you got, I'm going to leave some out. You got everybody out there moving the cones, doing all this kind of stuff. If they weren't out there, you'd be like, did the rapture take? No, that's not a good example because you would think something was wrong. Oh, who's going to move that cone so I can pull in there? Well, is that that important for those elderly people? Having a place to park, help getting out the wheelchair to the ramp, it's pretty important. Why is that important? Because it's serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And how is that serving Him? Because we're serving those that belong to Him. Hey, if you're not serving, find a place to serve. Equip yourself. Get what you can do. Get stability in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I feel like I've grown and God hasn't just opened the right opportunity of service for me. You just keep coming. You keep growing. And I mentioned this last week, I believe it was. There's some that God will have wait a little bit longer because you need the kind of equipment because He's got something a little bit bigger for you. That doesn't mean one job is more important than the other. It just means you're not quite equipped. But in the meantime, if somebody comes to you and say, lady, we need another nursery worker. God's equipping me for something bigger than that. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. We need some help cleaning, and the preachers are like, oh, I'm not equipped for that. Well, that's what your husband's saying. Anyway, so I don't want to end on that note. I didn't mean to end on that note. Maybe we should just pray. Hey, let's be a spiritually healthy church. Let's get ourselves equipped so we can serve. I'm not as impressed that you can just quote passages of Scripture than if you know Scripture and it brings some stability in your life, but you're using that to serve. You have to serve. Father, help us to apply these things to our life.